this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. Where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's one from Australia. An Australian family has spoken about their shock after a man jumped out of the bushes and drove off in a hearse carrying the body of a relative just before his funeral. Haley West and husband Tobias Richardson were preparing for the funeral service of her brother-in-law Seth when the carjacker made his move. Quote, just as we were talking in the foyer and one of the funeral directors was getting the trolley up to put the coffin on, a guy jumped out of the bushes, jumped into the hearse, and started it up. They say the funeral home guy was banging on the window saying, what are you doing? You can't drive away in a hearse. There's a coffin with a dead body in there, and we're all standing around going, oh, my God, the hearse has been stolen, end quote. Well, Mr. Richardson jumped into his own car to pursue the thief, as the police were called, and the hearse finally drove into the grounds of a school and stopped. Police encountered him there, and the guy had no good explanation for what he was doing. They say he was... A 49-year-old man whom they believe is suffering from delusions and dementia. How about that? Only 49 years old. When the family members were asked what the dead man might have thought about this, the response was, well, he had a good sense of humor, so he would have thought it was hilarious. We have plenty of weird stories similar to that for you this evening. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam. Let it all out. Let it all out. You have to let it all out. You know why?
Why?
Because this is our last show of the year 2014.
Do you remember, like, writing checks, like, in, say, like, 2007, and you're like, oh, my God, 2007. Where is that? And now it's, like, 2014.
Yeah.
This, well, you know, it's true. When you're 5 years old, a year is just, you know, 1/5 of your life. And then when you're 20, it's 1/20. And now it's like 1/40 of our life. We're not quite 40 yet, but we're getting there, Sam.
Yeah, I've never really thought of it like that. Thank you for depressing
me.
Yeah,
so it's a smaller and smaller portion in relationship to how old you're getting. And we would never be so discourteous as to ask Miss Shelley Wright, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, how old she is on the air. I'm presuming, though, Shelley, you're so young that the years are still very long to you. Hmm?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And so do you have any thoughts on this being our big New Year's edition of the program, Shelley Wright?
I am very excited, and here you've called me in on my vacation mm-hmm. from the coin shop.
Right.
We had a wonderful Christmas season, and I look forward to seeing everybody in the new year.
Well, this whole month has been a little bit wishy-washy for us here on Speaking of Strange, because we had ball games on two Saturdays.
Yes.
So we got to do one Christmas show, and now this is our New Year's show. And, of course, I am on my way back to Puerto Rico, where I will be doing a TV shoot and working on a book deadline. And so the next time I join all of you, I will be on the Isle of Enchantment. Uh-huh. And also, just to toss it out there, in February, I'm going to be speaking at the International UFO Congress in Scottsdale, Arizona. And then right after that, I'm going to be presenting a wishing machine workshop in Sedona, Arizona. So anybody who is interested, especially in coming into a little room and having an intimate close encounter with me, can do so by going to wishingmachineproject.com and buying a ticket to the workshop. So, of course, Sam, do you know, since this is the big New Year's show, what we are going to dig deeply into our number two of the program tonight? Can you imagine what would be a fitting subject for a show like this?
Let's see. New Year's show. Mm-hmm. Just give me a little hint. Just a tiny hint.
Okay. Well, what are we essentially celebrating when we celebrate a new year?
A solstice?
No. The passing of...
Time!
Bingo!
Thank you. Hey, there's the bell.
Tonight we are going to dig into some of the great mysteries of time.
Time travel?
Indeed.
Nice.
In fact, you could say time is the second biggest mystery in the universe.
After women?
Make that third. after consciousness itself. Consciousness, I think, would be number one. What is conscious self-awareness? And then once you are consciously self-aware, what is time? Because time has a relationship to how the conscious self-aware being is able to orient itself throughout its experience.
Sort of like, you know, do animals have the same feeling of time as we do? Like when you leave to go to work in the morning and they're like, oh, and they're waiting at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 8 hours to them until you come back, or is it a second?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know?
And not only do they experience it the same way, or are they just reacting to mechanical cues as, you know, Pavlovian style? This is going to be a very deep show, I think. Maybe too deep. Maybe even too deep for us. We may just lose ourselves and start babbling about nonsense. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the passing of time. In addition to all these weird, weird stories... and, you know, I want to just toss something out here, just as a simple question based upon personal experience. Sam, again, you're a big guy, 6'6".
Yeah,
6'5". Ever been to a chiropractor?
One time. I tried because I have a bad back, you know, and knees and everything. And I tried this guy, and I think he was watching YouTube videos, like, the entire time. I'm like, oh! And he's like, hold on. Not a very good experience. I don't think it was a the best guy in town. But, yeah, I've tried.
Well, you know, the reason I bring this up, I recently went to a chiropractor for the first time ever. And for years, I've had just sort of, like, soreness and tension in my neck and my back. And I mean, years, like 25 years. But I finally went to a chiropractor. And it was interesting to me because at one point, the chiropractor, he showed me my x-rays. And which is kind of creepy because it's just a skeleton wearing glasses, in my case.
Well, and you wouldn't have your glasses on in the x-ray.
Yes, I did have my glasses on.
I guess it's not an MRI.
Yeah. He said it was fine to keep the glasses on. So he's looking, well, he's showing me the x-rays, and you can see the little dots of my vertebrae, and one of my vertebrae was a little bit off, and he was like, okay, well, you know, we can fix that. But here was the most interesting thing. If you look at a profile of me, a neck is supposed, or the bones in the neck are supposed to form kind of a nice arc, and at one point mine does kind of a shallow little dip, kind of like an S shape. And he says, it's no big deal. He said, but this is probably because you're a writer. I've published 20 books over the past 25 or so years, and I've done a lot of looking at typewriters. Yes, kids, I'm old enough to have.
Use the typewriter?
I used to. Now, but, you know, I wrote my first books on typewriters, and then, you know, now computer monitors. But it's weird because it's like one time, if you stare at a computer, it's not going to warp your neck. But 25 years of time, and it starts changing.
Just one night.
Physically changing the way that your body is formed.
For those of you at home who can't see, Josh appears to have severe scoliosis. He's bent over sort of like Igor.
I have to have these... So we need the Stephen Hawking voice, right? We are going to discuss black holes in time tonight. So, yeah, I mean, it's odd, though, how that given enough time, little things that you do to yourself, they accumulate, and then they...
accrue.
Yeah. So, but you, Sam, do you feel pretty good?
I can feel I'm getting older. I mean, the back, I need to stretch more. I've taken yoga.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to find, especially at home, enough room for me to stretch fully out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a lot of room. And if you're in a yoga studio with like a bunch of other people, 6'6", I mean, my wingspan is pretty big.
Yeah.
And but stretching and breathing, you should do more of. You underestimate the stretch, I think.
Well, you know, it's like this past year, I was gone a lot. And when you're gone a lot and you come back, it's kind of like jumping forward in time because you remember people as you saw them, and then you come back and you see them as they now are.
Gray.
When I saw you, I was kind of shocked.
Everybody's showing. Do I look
I was gone for a while.
I
came
so.
Back. Sam, you looked a little more haggard. Everything had turned silvery.
George Clooney-esque.
Yes.
You kind of look like, you know, you're downtrodden here a little bit. Are you sure that there's not something bigger weighing on you?
Plenty weighing on me. Plenty. But I don't think that's my hair.
Well, your hair is up in a very nice green, what is it, a hairband?
Hairband.
Well, that's nice. It gives you a splash of color. It's seasonal. It's a seasonal hairband holding back this silver
the boughs
mass.
Of holly.
I, on the other hand, I don't know exactly how I'm aging, but we're about the same age. So
yeah, almost. Exactly.
I got some gray right here in my beard.
It's harder to see. You're platinum.
Yeah, we're not getting any younger.
Platinum plus over here, kids.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, well, hey, a couple things. Number one, at New Year's, everybody talks about Auld Lang Syne. Do you know what that means? I'm going to explain. And... why do you think a man went to jail for damaging something that is worth $10 million? What could it be? We'll see. Coming back soon on Speaking of Strange.
Thank you. roses flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we cried.
This song may not indicate it, but this song is actually called Same Old Lang Syne. That's a good trivia question. How many people would know that one, Sam the Animal Steel?
I fancy myself a trivia connoisseur, and especially when it comes to music, I would not have gotten that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty shocking. You would think it was like a Toast to Innocence or something. If you cared enough. It's called Same Old Lang Syne. And it's interesting because very few people even know what the hell Auld Lang Syne means, but it's sung over and over every New Year. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And the number there at Wright's Coin Shop, write this down, 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. So, Sam, Mr. Trivia, sir, what do you think Auld Lang Syne means?
I should know this because my favorite book as a child was The Book of Strange Facts and Useless Information.
Yeah, and this is fairly useless, yeah.
I would assume that it's from the Gaelic or Welsh?
It's Scottish, so, okay. You know, Scots have their roots in Gaelic Celtic, I guess, so, you know, it's a...
Old, A-U-L-D, old.
The Auld Lang Syne is A-U-L-D-L-A-N-G-S-Y-N-E, three words, Auld Lang Syne.
The old passing of time, the old man river, I don't know.
It literally... And I know I shouldn't ask Jelly this, right? Because you're not going to know if Sam the Animal Steel doesn't know, right?
She very well could.
I very well could, but don't ask me.
It means old long since or long, long ago. It could also be considered days gone by or old times. So when people are saying... For Auld Lang Syne, they're saying, oh, long ago, days gone by. And this actually comes from a poem by, Robert Burns. And it was written in 1788. And the lyrics to his, the poem, which was transformed into the lyrics of the song, very similar. Here's the poem. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never thought upon, the flames of love extinguished and fully past and gone, is thy sweetheart now grown so cold, that loving breast of thine, that thou canst never once reflect on Auld Lang Syne? And then the chorus is, on Auld Lang Syne, my Jo, on Auld Lang Syne, that thou canst never once reflect on Auld Lang Syne. So.
You lost me. I,
really?
I don't know.
You didn't keep up with that? Did you, Shelley?
Sort of, yeah.
it's saying, okay, I'm thinking it's similar to the song we played coming back in, where he's, which was called Same Auld Lang Syne. Should old acquaintance be forgot? Meaning, should old friends just be forgotten? Should the flames of love be extinguished, fully past and gone? Has the heart now grown so cold, that loving breast, that you can't just once reflect on old days gone by?
Well, you should have just wrote it like that.
So, yes, of course, later on, we'll play Auld Lang Syne for you, and maybe, you know, you'll hear it in a different
voice. Let me just state for the record right now that New Year's Eve is probably my least favorite holiday. It's too much expectation.
Mm-hmm.
People are, like, you know, making all these resolutions that are bound to fail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make resolutions. The last one I did was to read Thomas Wolfe's Look Homeward, Angel.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
I made it through, like, four pages.
Yeah.
It's pretty dull. But I bought it. So at least I got that far. But, I mean, people are like, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to lose weight. No, you're not. And so you're just already setting up your whole year to fail. And then it's like, oh, you don't have a girl. You don't get a kiss at midnight. And then you're a failure. And then, like, the whole year starts off on the bad foot.
No, but you're looking at it the wrong way. What you got to do is... You gotta start out your New Year's resolutions with stuff you want to do. Stuff, I mean, not like lose weight or, you know, but I resolve to go try out new restaurants, or I resolve to eat more cookies, or, you know, something like that. That's how you do New Year's resolutions and New Year's. That's how you start out New Year's.
I'm just saying that it just seems like...
You know what you're doing here, Sam?
What is that?
What you are inadvertently doing... is setting up a whole negative year for yourself.
No.
Yes, you are. You are saying, screw New Year's, because it sucks, because the resolutions cannot be upheld, and therefore you are cursing yourself.
I'm a realist.
To a
I just get sleepy. I know that ball's going to fall anyway.
I have a tradition.
You're setting a negative thought pattern up for your coming year, and you are fulfilling it.
Well, that's possible. I mean, but I sit all home alone and watch When Harry Met Sally.
Why don't you get out and, you know...
Because I hate people, and there's lots of cops out, and I don't drink. And, like, it's like, let's get drunk and...
Well, there's got to be something you enjoy that you could do. You know, have...
I like when balls drop.
Well, drop some balls at your house. Have some friends over.
I don't have any.
Maybe we can resolve this. Do you have a Facebook page or something we can drive people to for New Year's for Sam?
I won't accept their
friend
request.
Sam.
They'll stay in purgatory forever.
You tweet, don't you?
I have a Twitter. At @Sam_Steel.
Okay. Do I follow you?
No.
I'll follow you. Watch
You're
me.
Doomed, aren't you?
How many Twitter followers do you have again, Josh? Like 58,700.
Something like that. @Sam_Steel. All right. Okay.
I tweet every so often. It'll be so random. It's just like, why is it?
That's what people like, though. See, I have a problem because I don't have the dedication to tweet all the time. If I tweeted all the time, I'd have all kinds of crazy things to say, but it kind of makes me uncomfortable to just give people indications of where I am and what I'm doing. And
I had to quit following Kevin Smith because he would tweet so much. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dear God, how are you, like, doing anything else with your day?
Well, okay, all the Speaking of Strange listeners, go to @Sam_Steel. That's STEELE. There's an E on the end. And invite Sam to whatever you're doing. Try to let's get his life turned around here. Let's give him the most positive New Year's experience ever, and then he can come back on the radio and say, "Thank God, maybe
this was will be the year."
Yeah, we brought this fantastic positive influence into my New Year's experience, and that will set the stage for you.
I'm going to use my virtual wishing machine.
Yes. Yes, you've already had some success with it.
I've opened it.
That's step one.
I looked at the pictures.
Project your intentions onto it.
There's three pictures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it did work, sort of. I mean, I can't say that it didn't. I got a new base.
And that's what you wanted.
and it is the same.
Boom.
See?
That's how it, see, that's how it happens.
That's how easy it is.
All right, well, hey, before we go to this break, listen to this. A guy in Ireland is in trouble because that he punched a hole through a Claude Monet masterpiece worth $17 million. 10 million pounds, $17 million at a gallery. Why on earth would you do this?
Because he's a Manet fan. Some art humor.
That is, that's good. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I will explain to you why he did this. And also, there's new information out about America. It's official now. America is number two in the world in a major poll. I'll tell you what that poll is, and we'll dig into what's happening here. It's the program where we talk about the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and yes, even the downright weird. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and this is called Speaking of Strange.
Irresistible cross. Can't keep my eyes on the circling sky. Tongue-tied, twisted, just an earthbound history.
North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua B. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. Thanks for spending your evening with us, and don't forget you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville ghost tours. Yes, they will be running even throughout the winter, as well as our Facebook page, Twitter, and even a link to Wright's Coin Shop. W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com. And you will even find a photograph of Investigator Shelley right there. Highly sought-after photo.
Why don't we just offer some, like, 8x10 glossies, like, in a like mid-80s style, like a Star Search kind of, like a retro.
Well,
I just mail those out.
I was going to ask, you, Sam, are an artist. You do portraits all the time. Why haven't you done a portrait of Shelley Wright yet?
Maybe because she's not ever carried that George Pappard coin I've been looking for so long.
Oh, that's what it hinges on, huh?
Maybe in the new year. It's always 2015. I'm gonna look it up. Don't worry.
Do you ever do nude subjects?
I have done one. Mm-hmm. I've never actually painted. I designed it.
Mm-hmm.
I vectorized it. I rasterized it.
I remember when I was in college, you could make good money on the side as a nude model.
Did you ever do that?
I never
did. Is there a canvas big enough?
It's not the dark 30 hour yet, but I'll be happy to tell you later. Oh, boy. So, Shelley, you talk to Sam about artistic
projects. We'll get
project.
Together.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of art, yeah, man has gone to jail. He punched a hole in a $17 million Claude Monet masterpiece at the National Gallery of Ireland. And they asked him, of course, why did you do this? And he said that was his way of getting back at our blankety-blank government. How dumb is that? Like, that's going to wound the government.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, in his mind.
And he got sued, and...
Well, he's definitely, you know, spending time in prison. I imagine that they'll figure out how he's going to repay this debt.
Idiot.
At some point, yeah. It's weird to me, though, that a masterpiece like that is accessible enough to punch.
It's like that one time I went to Graceland. And I reached over the rail because I wanted to touch one of Elvis's jumpsuits.
Did you now?
I set off an alarm.
I bet you did.
I did.
But did you touch it?
I don't think I did.
What? You didn't even get to
it
make
was like,
contact?
Roop, 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 you know.
Well, by then you may as well go for it and get a good handful of Elvis's crotch there.
I just wanted to touch a piece of the king.
But you didn't make contact. Oh, well, that's a shame because I would wonder if some electricity...
I don't think it was worth, I mean, it's worth a lot, but it's not a Monet.
Not a Monet. Here is a new poll about America, now number two, and that is regarding the largest economy in the world. Guess who overtook us, finally?
I gotta guess.
You might go to Shelley goes,
China.
Exactly. For the first time since Ulysses S. Grant was president, America is not the leading economic power on the planet. The International Monetary Fund recently released the latest numbers for the world economy, and when you measure national economic output in real terms of goods and services, China will this year produce $17.6 trillion compared with $17.4 trillion for the USA, and as recently as the year 2000, we produced nearly three times as much as the Chinese. So that shows you how dramatically that we are slipping in our practical production. How about that? Where's that leading? I don't know. But we are no longer the economic superpower. Next story from Annapolis, Maryland. Police say a Maryland teenager... eating a pot brownie in class, panicked when his teacher asked him for a piece of the treat. And guess what? He is now charged for obliging. The 17-year-old did not tell the teacher the brownie contained marijuana. She began acting disoriented and confused and was brought to the nurse's office. The teacher told police the student had given her the brownie during third period and that she suspected it contained marijuana when she started feeling really weird. So the student has been charged with juvenile counts of administering a dangerous substance, assault, and reckless endangerment.
You ever eaten the edibles before?
I have, yeah.
They're a lot stronger. They last a lot longer.
It's a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It can be very panicky.
Yeah.
If you let it.
Well, I'm sure, okay, like, for example, this lady, for all we know, her part-time job could be a forklift driver or something like that, right?
So operating heavy machinery.
It really could be dangerous. Anytime you slip some substance into somebody's food like that. Now, this, of course, is our first show since Christmas, We have a story here from Mayville, Wisconsin. Two young brothers there are likely hoping they didn't land on Santa's naughty list. These two boys, ages 3 and 6, thought the best way to get in touch with the North Pole was by calling 911. So they got their dad's cell phone and placed a number of 911 calls, hoping to connect with the North Pole and Santa himself.
Idiots.
says they the story from the AP literally says they demanded the 911 operator connect them to Santa Claus. I'm thinking they're 3 and 6. They demanded. Okay, they refused to hang up the phone till she put Santa on the line. They would not take no for an answer. I don't suppose the Krampus made an appearance in your life this past Christmas, eh, Sam?
Let me see if I can pull it up. I actually designed a piece of Krampus art.
Oh!
But I didn't do it because I didn't want to bring those evil that evilness into my...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do it. Let me see if I can pull it up here. I have the Krampus still here.
Okay.
Oh, there he is, Krampus. Oh, that's just the picture. I don't have the actual vectorized image saved in here.
So now, what exactly did you do? You just drew your own Krampus?
No, I took that scary Krampus.
Okay.
Then I run it through a variety of programs and manipulate the photo, and then we vectorize the lines to smooth them out.
Yeah?
We break it down into four. I usually use a four-color palette.
Mm-hmm.
A black, a dark gray, a light gray, and a white.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're ultimately just looking at blobs of color that make a Krampus in this case. And it looked pretty cool. It was very good. It was going to be very technical.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of scary. I didn't want to mess with the Krampus. I don't want to, like, anger it or anything.
I got
enough problems. I got 99 problems, and a Krampus is one.
Apparently so, because you had never heard of Krampus, and now you're obsessively, artistically manipulating Krampus images. That's why I knew something had changed in you since last time.
Maybe I got taken over.
There is a dark, evil seed planted deep in your brain stem, and it's called Krampus. Well, maybe you should do art with Shelley and Krampus together, and they could be, I don't know, in wrestling or something like that in another realm.
That'd be kind of cool.
If anybody could do it, it would be
so. I would actually have them like old school boxing style, like turn of the century, and the Krampus could have like a big handlebar mustache and be like this. That'd be kind of neat. I looked at those pictures, and they were terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, hey, here's a card of Krampus raping your child. Like, who's sending these? Look at the card section. Go to Google and, like, type in Krampus cards, and it's like, they're horrible.
They're terrifying, and they're really expensive.
Are they? Collectible?
Yeah, it kind of, yeah.
So, earlier I made reference to Stephen Hawking, and he has said that he wants to be in a new movie. Now, there is a movie out about his life, a biopic, but he has said he wants to be a character in a fictional movie. So think about that. What might he want to be in?
Hal. He could be Hal.
That's a good guess, actually. When we come back, I will tell you, and also we have one of these stories that probably is going to just be a flash in the pan. You hear about it, and then it vanishes, about a new form of miracle engine that has been created. Super efficient. We'll see what happens to the creators of this one. This is the show where we talk about the amazing, the remarkable, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. Their number is 828-298-5402, and we'll be right back.
They only come a tan about twice a year.
release of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Next hour, we are going to talk about the mystery of time. Because, obviously, when we celebrate a new year, well, that's what we are all thinking about. The passage of time from one point in experience to another. And physicists will tell you, cosmologists will tell you, it may be the most complex mystery of all. Especially for something that we can quantify as well as we can for practical purposes. Also, mind you, before we get into some of this information here about new technologies, well, the winter season is now officially coming up, and don't catch yourself without power. Don't wait till it's too late. Go check out sunshinesimple.com and learn about the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price, guaranteed. You don't need fuel. It is quiet. It's clean. SunshineSimple.com. Go watch the video there and learn about it yourself. Stephen Hawking, the great scientist, says that he wants to be a villain in a James Bond movie. They say that his ideal role would be to play a baddie. He says, quote, "I want to be surrounded by a bikini-clad sexy Bond babe."
Can you say it more like it?
I knew you were going to ask that. "I want to be surrounded by bikini-clad sexy Bond babes and angrily call out for Bond's death as I carry out my schemes for world domination." Something like that?
Yeah, that's good.
I'm seeing if there's a Stephen Hawking voice.
By the way, he says that, you know, when they gave him his speech synthesizer, he was surprised that it gave him what he calls an American accent. But he says he kept it because, well, it's now his trademark. Whether or not he gets to play a Bond villain, well, he has already left a big mark on popular culture. He's been on... or featured in The Simpsons and Star Trek and The Big Bang Theory and Monty Python. It just goes on and on. Amazing. Here is a story from Germany. Headline, German-made miracle machine turns water into gasoline. There is as yet no method to mimic Jesus turning water into wine, but German chemical engineers say they can prove they are performing miracles of alchemy. They are now finalizing the assembly of a machine they say changes water into gasoline. The German company says it has developed an engineering installation capable of synthesizing petroleum-based fuels from water and carbon dioxide. The power-to-liquid rig converts gases extracted from water into liquid hydrocarbon fuels. Obviously, if this indeed does what they claim it does, this would revolutionize the world. They give even more details here on how this works. They say current costs are estimated to be about $2.50 per gallon, but they say as they perfect the process, the price will drop. You hear all the time these stories about people who have these sort of groundbreaking energy efficiency movements and sort of innovations, and then all of a sudden they vanish. And I can tell you that I have personally known a number of scientists who have been excited, saying, "We have achieved it," and then they die. One of them was beaten to death in a parking lot. There was even a scientist who was supposed to come on this program. And Shelley, we won't say his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This scientist was going to come on Speaking of Strange and talk about a brand new breakthrough
with taking essentially water and using it for a new system that would work along the lines of a cold fusion process. And just days before he came on, he was dead. So,
well, you know, those big companies,
yeah,
they have, they got unlimited resources.
And who wouldn't think they're capable of killing somebody when trillions and trillions of dollars over the years
trillions
are at stake? We're going to take a break. When we come back, well, we are going to go into hour number two and talk about our big theme of tonight's special New Year's edition. We're going to dig into the great mystery of time. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Their number, 828-298-5402. And we will be right back.